The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by you. We're seeking sponsors to support our mission to share the stories, passions, and personalities of the people shaping Boulder's unique tech scene. If you'd like to be part of this project and reach a growing and enthusiastic audience, shout at us via Twitter at Boulder Tech Cast or send me a note at joel@dojo4.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. Thanks for joining me today. Our guests for episode 60 are Kathy Vega, COO, CTO, and co-founder, and Alex Mulvaney, CEO and co-founder of Shine On Bikes, a company created to improve the world through making cycling a safer activity in order to reduce pollution and carbon emissions and allow people to live happier and healthier lives. In our freewheeling discussion, Kathy, Alex, and I get into how a couple of space science engineers found themselves in the bike equipment business, the inspiration and science behind Shine On Bike's innovative technology, including a walkthrough of their dual beam bike light, the challenges of launching a startup as full-time students, and the significant roles that CU and the Boulder Tech community have played in Shine On's early success. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Kathy Vega and Alex Mulvaney from Shine On Bikes. For starters, I should disclose to the listeners and to you that I've been a big fan of Shine On since I first learned about it a year ago from our mutual friend, Kat Buck. And since then, I've seen your pitches at NVC last spring and Catalyze CU last summer, and as a regular Boulder bike commuter, I'm looking forward to using a Shine On bike light myself. So with that out of the way, describe what sets the Shine On light apart from other bike lights.
The Shine On bike light is actually completely unique from any other bike light. The realization came as we were biking home one day. We'd always bike home and you'd always notice that every bike light just shined forward. So you couldn't tell kind of what you were looking at until it got close. What we did is we took a little bit of light and put it back on the rider. So that way you can tell just instantly at a glance what you're looking at. So that's definitely the biggest differentiator from our light and other lights is that you can actually see the human being.
When did you have this realization?
Was that 2 years ago now?
Yeah, just a bit under 2 years. Alex and I were working. That's how we met. We were friends working on a satellite project at CU, and we both biked. And I would kind of complain, you know, during the winter, the days get so short. So I'd be like, oh, I don't want to have a meeting this late because then I have to bike in the dark. And I guess one day Alex was biking, and you can tell your story.
Yeah. So we were working late one day. Well, every day I'd bike home, and every day I'd come back the next day and be like, man, the cyclist on the road has this brightest light imaginable. I was completely blind last night. She always be like, oh, that's terrible. And so every single day I'd pass this guy on the bike path and his light would be completely in my eyes. And one day I was biking home and I saw the cyclist in front of me who I was following. This super bright light came by and he swerved. And I was like, all right, that's just ridiculous. There has to be a better way to be seen without blinding other people. So yeah, I was biking along and I had this cheap little light and I just kind of turned it around and shined on my chest and I was like, ah, that's it. Eureka. And I told Kathy about it and the rest is history.
Well, that's pretty neat. Yeah, I know what you mean about those lights because I call them loco lights because they're crazy bright and it's like a locomotive coming at you. And especially if it's raining or snow and you got eye protection on and it hits the water on the goggles.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, so they do shielded lights like overseas. They've got the shield, like car headlights are strictly shielded so it doesn't shine above, you know, basically flat. But I've never seen a bike light like that in the U.S.
Yeah. Maybe next product.
Yeah.
So the original inspiration for the Shine On light was just being blinded by these loco lights and then flipping your own light around on yourself. And then how many prototypes did you go through before you arrived at the current design?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he has that idea. He calls me and is like, Kathy, there's this great idea. So then I'm like, oh, you know what? There's actually a hackathon like in a couple of weeks. Let's go for the weekend. They have 3D printers. They have all types of things and just sit there for 24 hours and try to put one together. Well, they didn't have 3D printers, but we had a friend who had one at home that he had built. So our first prototype was this like 5-inch, just large kind of like heavy duty flashlight you use to go outdoors. And we're like, okay, we got the dimensions wrong. And then from there, we started scaling down. By last August, we had maybe a dozen prototypes. And since then, just small tweaks here and there, I have four more in our office. So it takes a lot of refining, and maybe it's the engineering of us, but just getting the right angles, right? You want enough to shine on the person's body, mm-hmm. but limiting it so it doesn't go too far beyond them, affecting people behind them. The shield that prevents it from getting into the person's eyes is something which, with each resizing or redesign, I keep trying to make sure we can keep that consistent. Yeah.
And so are you constructing these prototypes yourself?
Yeah, I've got boxes full of hardware and prototypes and old lights in our office. As a matter of fact, I have one of the lights right here.
Oh, cool. Walk us through it. What am I looking at right now?
I'm just holding the bike light here, and some of it is what you'd expect for a normal bike light. It shines forward, it lets you see where you're going, and then this kind of area here, these fun multicolors, is our unique part about it. That's the part that allows you to be seen with the multiple colors.
It was by accident that we started with a multicolor LED. That was the only thing that Alex had with him at the hackathon that first weekend 2 years ago. But once I started digging into it, the multiple colors help with your night vision. So they're not white light, so then they don't affect your night vision. And recently, Taylor found this infographic that he put on our Instagram. Green light lets you be seen like a significant number of meters farther away than other lights, and ours has green, it has blue and red, and so that's something that we've really liked about it throughout this, is that it's fun, it's safer. When people use it, that's one of the things they point out, is like, that was fun, I wasn't expecting to it, but you know, it's kind of like a party, right. And so you just get these multicolored lights on you, you get to scroll through, and you're like a disco ball just coming down the road.
You know, looking at the video on your site and on your Kickstarter, it's kind of striking. It's because it's not necessarily obvious. It can be kind of like creepy looking or weird looking, some, you know, it's like, but it will definitely, the reaction I imagine would definitely be, what is that? Like, it's going to catch the attention of drivers and whoever is seeing it. So
your traditional bike light, you know, if I just shine this one at you, it's one tiny dot. You have no idea what you're looking at, really, versus you can clearly tell that you see a human being you're sharing your space with.
Right.
Biomotion is what this kind of principle is, where the human brain is innately keyed to notice biological movement, such as, you know, if it's something running next to you or another human being, you notice that instantly with a deep part of your brain. And that's what allows us to kind of humanize spaces and roads.
That's interesting, humanizing the spaces and roads. I like that. And also, this isn't just, oh, it looks cool. There's some science behind this, right? On your website, there's some statistics. So do you want to talk about that at all? Like, it makes you X times more likely to be seen. You'll be seen.
Yeah, 10 times sooner is what we've calculated. We went out with timers, a few different bike lights, and just tried to estimate the distance and the amount of time it took a person in a car to see the cyclist using this bike light compared to another one. And like Alex said, initially, I thought it had to do with the surface area. So because there's more area being lit up, then people can see it from farther away. And that makes sense in terms of seeing how quickly it's approaching. So when it's just a small bike light, you don't have depth perception. So you don't see how far the cyclist is. You just know they're there. With this, you can see how far the person is and how they're approaching and how quickly. But in addition to that, there's a really interesting thing that we're hoping to dig into with researchers at CU with biomotion and the fact that humans subconsciously are going to recognize a human body quicker than flashing light.
Great to ride with, too. If I'm on a really long ride and the light turns off, I feel naked without it. It's like a safety shield. You look down, you're like, oh, I'm clearly visible. It great feeling.
Is there a setting to have the backlight on but the headlight off?
Yeah, I can run through kind of some of the features here. We've got a bunch of different modes for the light. There's like a full bright mode with 100% on, and then there's like a dimmer light if you're in kind of maybe middle conditions or twilight. Then there's a fast flicker, which just blinks really quickly a few times, and that'll draw anyone's attention instantly. Your eyes go straight to it. And then there's also a day mode where it stays off for most of the time and then does a few solid blinks. That one's to conserve battery, but still make you really visible. And all that's in addition to, you know, everything you kind of expect from a bike light. It's USB rechargeable, waterproof, shock resistant. It's got this little clasp right here, so you can just attach it on and off your bike. This goes on your handlebars, and you can take the actual light off and pop it in your pocket, recharge it while you're at work.
Can't wait to have one on my handlebars.
Cool.
Not very journalistic of me to say that, but
soon, March.
Yes. All right. Are you taking like existing lights and refashioning them, or are you 3D printing, or?
Oh yeah, they're all 3D printed so far. We have a guy who's making our mold and our official plastic injection products up in Longmont. But with CU's 3D printers, we took a lot of classes that allowed us to do that. And since then, just ordering from 3D printing companies or Solderworks is a co-working space out in
Westminster.
And the guy who runs it, he's been in the startup and he's been super helpful in allowing us a couple of recent specialized 3D prints. They're just more refined and help us get a more accurate fit check. But yeah, using, you know, the tools we've learned through school.
How's the reception been from the cycling industry so far? Have you started rolling this out to them?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, originally to try to get testers for our early prototypes, it would just bother people on the bike path. Hey, I see you're biking. Can I buy you a coffee and talk to you about lights? And yeah, we must have had hundreds of different people test it for us, you know, hundreds, if not more than that, hours on the road of testing. And basically everyone comes back and says, oh, that's incredible. Like, I actually feel safer. I notice the difference. Cars stop when I, you know, you get that sixth biker sense if you've been on the roads long enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I noticed that car was about to run over me, but they stopped.
Right.
And for me, that's the biggest. It's like, they actually didn't kill me.
Yeah. I survived to say that I love this light. And it seems like this is the first thing like it on the market. Is there anyone else doing anything like this? Or are you guys the first to it?
Yeah, very first. We came with the idea and we've been working at it ourselves. And yeah, just pushing forward to bring this new kind of idea to market.
What's been your biggest barrier?
The biggest barrier has been kind of starting a company, just coming from scratch and just an idea, you know, a little prototype we made at a hackathon. I mean, the pieces were there, and it's just, I like to say, like, information's kind of fractal. Like, the more you look at something, the more you realize is there. So we're like, okay, we'll do 3D printing. Okay, do you want PLA? Do you want SLS? Do you want resin? You want stereolithic? You want all these different types of things. And it's like, okay, well, we just want the regular 3D printing. Okay, which plastic do you want? Do you want resin? Do you want UV curing? Do you want colors pellets? And every single time you look at it, there's just more to know. And I love learning about it. Both of us are just really into the learning aspect and just how much you've got to do and grow to get to the point. I mean, major parts of the company, it's just, there's a lot bringing a product to market, and it's really incredible to go through that journey and learn everything.
Right. And then all through this, you're also, you just graduated, Alex. I know that, Kathy, you're about to, but you've been full-time students and getting this company off the ground and studying not really bike light manufacturing or technology,
right.
Studying something completely different, but sort of pursuing a passion in your spare time. And so you ran a successful Kickstarter last year?
Yep.
Right. And I think that was, last summer was just so beneficial to us. I mean, the year before that, school year 2018 to 2019, it was rough. I mean, Alex was in his senior year. I was in my junior year, and that's like killer in engineering, you know? Like, that's when they try to really decide if you're going to graduate or not. And it was hard to understand the bike community. But as soon as summer started, we like hit the ground running. We were at a biking event every weekend. We read dozens of reports from like People for Bikes on bike safety, on bike consumers. And being able to have the support with Catalyze and the space and our team, Taylor Brooks Murphy, he's our marketing lead. And he was a freshman, but just like dove in, very professional, very like on point. So we were able to really, in 2 months, prepare for this Kickstarter. We grew in those 2 months our email list from 300 to 1,200 subscribers. And so it was that, I guess, textbook startup life. You know, we were literally broke. Alex and I, we were like eating ramen every day at work, 12, 15 hours a day. Is crazy, but really rewarding.
Has there been any thought of, well, I'll just stop school and focus on the lights?
Oh, every day senior year, I was like, you know what? I think I've got enough. And Kathy's like, no, you got to see it through. You got to finish it. I'm happy I graduated, but it was definitely there.
When will we start seeing these lights on the road?
We're deep in manufacturing now.
Yeah. So I just had our most recent meeting with our mold manufacturer on Tuesday. And February 25th is the day that we'll have most likely products in hand. Now, it'll take us maybe a couple of weeks to assemble the plastic parts with our electrical parts, put them in boxes, have the instructions printed out in a ready-to-go consumer fashion. Mm-hmm. But March is our point of delivery, so.
The beginning, kind of bike season.
Yeah.
For those who aren't year-round riders. I thought it was interesting, looking on your website, that your mission statement makes barely any mention of bike lights. Rather, it states your commitment to contributing to a cleaner, safer, healthier world through the promotion of eco-friendly transport, and especially bikes. Were you actively seeking a way to manifest this commitment, or did the idea for the light just sort of come to you like a light bulb and take you down this path? Does that make sense? Like, were you thinking, we want everyone on bikes, let's invent a way to make that happen? Or was it just like, yeah, we'd love to see everyone on bikes, but I'm going to make satellites and I'm going to be an engineer. And then you had this epiphany about the light one day, and then it was like, it all came together.
Yeah. It just kind of grew out of our lifestyle. We bike every day and we want to, spread the message of biking and safety and community awareness, stuff like that. And, you know, as engineers, we're problem solvers. So it's like, how can we do that a little bit better? How can we tweak that? How can we make this more? And then, yeah, the two halves just kind of came together and we're like, wow, this is a product we can make. This is something we deliver. This is a way we can make the world better. So yeah, just bring our lifestyle together with our passions and hobbies and was able to make something new and bring it out to the world.
But that wasn't necessarily the plan before you turned the light around on yourself that day.
She's a bit of the planner. I'm definitely more of a, hey, check out this cool thing.
Yeah. No, for me, it was a lot about those values and that mission statement. You know, I moved to Boulder, Colorado, 3 years now from California. And when I was coming out here, I was looking for second bachelor's programs. And it was Boulder, Texas, or Washington. And for me, finding that it was such a bike-friendly community, it was such a conscientious community in terms of like our environment, in terms of policies, in terms of community. And so being able to make a product that adds to that community and that we can help spread kind of like those messages to other urban towns, those are things that really, I think, drive my continued investment in this idea, because making people safer will make people want to bike more. And it's fun. I mean, you know, you wake up tired, but you bike over to school or work and instantly you're 10 times happier. You know, you've had a long day, but you bike home, you're hungry and ready for dinner. So hoping to like help others feel that way.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was just to talk about the role biking plays in your lives. Why are you so passionate about helping others discover the joys and benefits? You know, as somebody who lived in Boulder a long time, biking's always been part of the mix for me. There have been long periods, like 10 years or so, without a car, and bike was my main way of getting around. And just about a year ago, I got an e-bike, totally on a whim. And since then, I've ridden almost 2,700 miles on it. I've gotten rid of a car. It's changed my life. And it's something that I am sort of evangelize about. Just I've had so many people come up to me and ask me about my bike and the opportunity to just say, oh man, you just got to get one and start riding. It'll change your life. And so anyway,
I could talk for a long time about, oh, the reasons why, how we should reform cities, why, you know, single-use cars and spread out cities are one of the worst things we could do. There's just so many better ways to like live and organize ourselves. And biking is just such a major part of that, you know, solution. If everyone had bikes, we could just have smaller, more ecological cities. And it's not even just the lofty reasons. Like it's better for you. You get your exercise built right in your day. You get to see sunshine and beautiful animals.
Exactly. It's gotten me more in touch with nature.
Yeah.
It's helped me sort of rediscover Boulder and kind of fall in love with Boulder again, because I've lived here a long time. There's been a lot of changes the last few years. It's been like, but it's just like, yeah, this is an amazing town, especially to be out on a bike. And then now that I'm on the bike so much, when I am in a car, it's like, oh my God, get me out of this thing.
I just did a biking challenge. I did 30 days every day I biked. I just wrote something on Twitter about just one of the things I liked about biking that day. And it just really connected me with the city. The nature kept coming up and the physical benefits.
Yeah, it's really indescribable until you start doing it. Does the fact that you're in Bike Crazy Boulder play into the creation of Shine On? I mean, it's kind of what brought you here in the first place, Kathy, but beyond that, Like if you lived in a less bike-friendly place, does the inspiration for Shine On still strike you?
Yeah. So last summer we worked full-time on Shine On, but we started the idea the year before that, that spring. However, both Alex and I had already committed to internships. He was going to be at Ball Aerospace and I was going to be at JPL in Pasadena. And so even though that summer we didn't get to work every day on the bike light, I was like, well, I'm going to take it with me. And I started going to like bike rides out there. One day with a group of JPLers, we biked from Pasadena to Santa Monica and Venice. And throughout that, I would bring the bike light and people loved it. You know, we've talked to people in Seattle. We've had purchasers from Texas and Washington, D.C. I think anywhere there's a bike commuter community, people care about safety and are intrigued, are interested in something that lets them be seen better and quicker.
Do you see once Shine On becomes a little more established, once you actually have product in the pipeline, do you see yourselves getting involved at all in sort of local bike politics? Maybe you are already.
Oh, we definitely are. Yeah. The amount of social media posts promoting things right in front of our street, someone put these plungers just in the road, just as kind of a temporary mm-hmm. bike path. And yeah, I mean, those things are always amplifying. The Denver Bike Lobby, we work with them about. I mean, biking is a huge part of who we are. So we're always kind of spreading the message, spreading the stoke to whoever we can.
Also, I wanted to talk to you about just Boulder, the tech startup community here. It's a reputation for being very close-knit and friendly and supportive. Has that been your experience? Have you had much integration with the rest of the startup community?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. From the get-go, we went to Boulder Startup Week in 2018, and people were just so encouraging, like, yeah, you know, this is awesome. Go with it. You know, try this. Here's 10 people you should talk to. And so over that time, I was going to mention that when, like, how we connected through Kat is everyone is just so open and so willing to chat out here. And that's very special to Boulder and something that's helped us a lot in being able to reach more people than we could have imagined.
Boulder's mantra is definitely give first. And every step of the way, we've noticed that. You just reach out to someone and they respond to your email. You ask for some help and someone's like, hey, I can spare 5 minutes. Let's grab a coffee. I'll teach you what you know. And it's really allowed us to shorten our learning curve so much. From that first startup week, we just went to every single session they had, like eight to five every day to every session. We just went and learned, soaked up all the knowledge we can. And I mean, give first is Boulder's mantra. I've found myself helping other people, like, oh, I can get you, you know, start up. If you want to connect with someone, I can. And the Boulder community is definitely amazing. It's somewhere special to be.
And how big of a role has CU played in Shine On's development?
So we had the idea and then we go to a CU hackathon, you know, and then soon after that summer, we get back and there was the director of entrepreneurship, Kyle Judah, and he had just started that year. And we're like, hey, like we see you came from MIT and you like tech stuff and we're engineers and we know nothing about business. Like, how can we learn more? So he helped us set up an independent study where we were able to learn both about manufacturing, prototyping and marketing. And then since then, just taking CU Boulder Engineering has an engineering entrepreneurship curriculum. And I think that's relatively new. Now they're building the bridge with the engineering school and the business school. So that's another really cool, unique thing that I didn't know before coming out to CU, but I appreciate because even places like UCLA, you see engineering, you see business as different worlds, but 60% of CEOs are engineers is what they say. And so it's really neat to have that opportunity so early on in your career.
Yeah, I graduated from CU a long time ago and have never really thought of myself as a CU alum, really. I just didn't really have that much of a connection to the school. It was just that big thing in the middle of the city that I had to get around on the other side of town. But then I started helping with some podcasts there and just getting involved, and it's been really impressive. And
yeah, I started the startup club at CU to help connect people with more startups because, I mean, I've heard a phrase lately I've really liked. It's like, you can't be what you can't see. If you don't have exposure to these things like entrepreneurship, you're just not aware of it, not familiar with it. So if you have a club and like-minded people and the more kind of the snowball gets rolling, it's an amazing thing they've been building.
So once you hit it big with the dual beam light, what's next for Shine On? Any other products in the works?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we have a whole line of products coming up. I mean, every time we bring this up to people, like, wow, can you make one for my kids? Can you make one for my dog? Can you have one for my running? So there's tons of products we want to work on. There's a rear light, so you're going to be 360 degree visible. You know, smaller lights, more specific lights for different implementations. There's a lot that can be done with rethinking lighting. And that's kind of where we want to be, is make everyone safe when you're exercising or just outdoors.
Yeah, it is really amazing, especially riding in winter. The hazard that just an oncoming light creates.
I actually had to change my path coming home from work because I was getting almost hit by a car once a day on average. I was like, right. All right, I'm going to take the longer route and just avoid that one.
Exactly. That's one of the benefits of the e-bike is, yeah, sure, I'll go the long way.
Yeah, the backlight is definitely one of our big milestones this year. Since the get-go, people have asked, well, what about for the back? And we're like, we know, like, that's an area that's very susceptible for a biker. You can't see what's behind you. And so we've been working on how to solve the engineering question of how to attach it to the bike so that it does reflect towards your back as well as towards the road. But we're well on our way and hoping to do our second Kickstarter this year for the backlight. And so then, you know, bike riders, Shine-On supporters can have the full set and feel secure.
Yeah, I guess the backlight does pose some challenges in terms of throwing the light back on the rider because they're usually under the seat or...
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
I look forward to seeing what you guys come up with that.
We'll keep you posted.
Yes. Anything else you'd like to add or that I've missed?
The city of Boulder is just so amazing. I see here from the studio, there's just cyclists passing by all the time, and it's just starting to get dusk now, so you can see the headlights and taillights starting to come on, but Boulder's definitely a huge biking community, and we're happy to be part of it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Where can people learn more?
Well, we have our website, shineonbikes.com, and if people sign up for our newsletter, we have some actually really exciting things. Taylor, our marketing lead, has been working with a local agency that we connected through CU to rebrand a little and clean up our site. When we first put that together, it was a lot of me and Taylor just Googling and putting things together. And neither of us are web dev experts. So if people can sign up for our newsletter through our website, then in February and March, we're going to have some exciting stuff coming up.
That sounds great. Thanks. Catherine Vega and Alex Mulvaney from Shine On Bikes. It's been great speaking with you. Thanks for coming on.
Cool.
Thanks so much. You too.
That was Kathy Vega and Alex Mulvaney of Shine On Bikes. Learn more at shineonbikes.com and follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Shine On Bikes. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.